Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Mike Lombardi is our football expert. He has written a great book called Gridiron Genius. He is part of the GM Shuffle podcast, and he writes for TheAthletic.com. It is an honor to have this great man on our show. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, everyone. How are we doing today, Angelo?
Well, Mike, I'm thrilled that you could come on. You had written prior to what went down yesterday afternoon that Doug had a 15% chance of surviving. You saw this coming. Explain why you were pretty sure he was gone even before the meeting yesterday with Jeff Lurie.
It was strictly black ops. I mean, it was a CIA operation. I mean, what happened was, and this is not really hard, this is the anatomy of how stories get out. So at the end of the year, you know, I think Jeffrey had no intentions of firing Doug because he thought he was going to cooperate and go along with whatever the vision of the company was moving forward, the collective three of them. And then in that meeting, you know, what he heard wasn't what he wanted to hear. And so he knew he had to make a change. But because he had leaked the story out earlier that he was coming back, he had to change the narrative. He had to change the black op operation to get people to understand where he's coming from, which is classic NFL. I mean, this is no different. Change the narrative. So Mort reports the story. Mort doesn't get that story because he just secondhand news from somebody walking down the street or John the janitor. He got that story from an internal someone in the Eagle organization who said, hey, we had a meeting. It didn't go well. I think Jeffrey's here. Go with this. Sunday morning, he goes with it. Maybe 28 hours later, Doug's fired. It was fairly obvious what the plan was. They needed to plant the story that it wasn't going well. Then that was the reaction.
Mike, it didn't go well because Doug at that point started to assert the authority a Super Bowl coach normally has and said he wanted to name his own assistants.
Yeah, I think, look, you know, the reality of it is Jeffrey talks about he doesn't see himself as a hands-on owner, that, you know, he thinks involvement's good, but he doesn't want to be too involved. Yet we know he is involved and that's a good thing to be involved. And he's asking the right questions. And Doug was relying on, you know, he had got embarrassed by the Matt Groh situation. That clearly wasn't something he wanted to do. And, you know, now all of a sudden he's being asked to formulate a staff with people that are around him that maybe he doesn't have the most trust in terms of their decision-making on what they should do.
All right, but Mike, you were working in the Eagles organization in the Ray Rhodes era. How involved was Jeff Lurie then in the day-to-day operations of the team?
I think what Jeffrey does is really good in the sense that he asks a lot of questions and he tries to get the macro level into the right direction. And I think that's really important. Owners need to do that. I think the idea that an owner is just going to be absentee and let you run it doesn't necessarily always prove to be fruitful. But I think there's a blind spot within Jeffrey's discovery. I think when he's looking at what's wrong with his organization, he has a blind spot towards the general manager, towards somebody that he's groomed to say that they are a GM factory. I mean, Andrew Berry got the job in Cleveland because he was in Cleveland. He was best friends with Paul DePodesta. It wasn't because of what happened in Philadelphia. You know, Joe Douglas was in Baltimore, you know, and he went to Philadelphia and he got that job up there. I don't see that. I don't see that. I'm not buying that narrative, you know, because at the end of the day, if you have a GM factory and you have all these talented people, then why is the roster so bad? And then why are you admitting that you're going to rebuild the team? The reason they fired Doug is based on Doug's vision. You got to really understand this. The vision of the head coach was to was to win next year. The vision of the owner was to build the organization for future years.
Right.
That's never the case in the NFL. Most coaches want to build for the future. Most owners want to win next year.
Ah. So it's the opposite of what you normally deal with, Mike.
99% of the owners. I mean, Arthur Blank in Atlanta thinks he's going to win next year, even though he's got a bad cap, he's got a bad quarterback, he's got issues. He wants to win. Owners want to win next year. They don't want to hear the word rebuild. That was role reversal. I don't buy that one. And if you have to rebuild and you're a GM factory, why?
Hey, do me a favor and help me to understand the process. When a coach goes to his bosses in an NFL team, Mike, and proposes hiring assistants that the bosses don't like, in this case, Press Taylor, maybe Corey Unlin, what happens at that point? Would you say, I don't think you want to go in that direction? Would you try to talk him out of it? Would it be a fireable offense if he insisted on those assistants? What normally happens in a situation like that?
Well, I think it's a bigger issue than just the individual, right? So, Doug, what do you see as how we're going to fix the offense? And when he says, well, I think Press Taylor is going to help me fix the offense, I'll make him coordinator. Well, Press was here. Like, how is that going to fix us? Like, what are we going to do different?
All right.
Like, we're going to play harder. We're going to, you know, what are we going to do different to fix? We haven't been very good offensively the entire year. We couldn't fix it now. Tell me how we're going to fix it. I've said this on this program all year. Doug's answers were going to determine his fate. His answers and how are we going to fix it? It's not the vision of 4 years from now. It's how are we going to fix this? What's your vision to fix it? You know, promote from within doesn't necessarily mean fixing it. We need a sense of how, where we're going to go. How is Wentz? How did Wentz get so bad? How are we going to fix him? And if you just come back, well, I think we should make Press. I mean, the reality was it made no sense that to have the meeting because Doug was never going to relinquish the play calling nor his hands on the offense. And Jeffrey wanted a new offense. He wanted some changes in offense. That was a non-negotiable on both sides.
Wow. Fascinating stuff. Is Howie a good GM?
Well, I mean, to his owner, he feels that. And that's
no,
the
I did not.
Matters.
I'm asking Mike Lombardi,
the
good
guy
GM. No,
I mean,
you
I think
matter.
Here's the issue, Angelo. Here's the issue. You know, every coach in the league knows when they walk in there, they're walking into a very difficult situation. Howie has got complete control of the owner. And to the point where there's no real subjectivity that goes on. I mean, Jeffrey views Howie without any culpability. I mean, you just heard the speech about GM Factory. There's nothing, you know, DK Metcalf. No, that wasn't him. That was something else. And there's always blame going around. There's always somebody else's fault. And every coach that knows that, nobody wants to hear this, but when Chip left, it wasn't exactly glowing about Howie in the building. And he has a group of coaches that listen to him. We cannot dismiss this. Doug's left. Now, coaches are going to call Doug and ask, hey, what is it like to work in there? What is the day-to-day operation? Talk to me about it. He's got Bob Lamont, who's got a lot of coaches. This is going to be an interesting movement, how they attract coaches who have options.
All right, so you're telling me,
options.
Mike, you're saying this is not all that appealing a place for our head coach to go if he's, you know, got options. That's what you're telling me.
Let's take somebody from, you know, New England, let's say, you know, and they talk to Belichick, and Belichick knows what goes on in the building. You're going to, you know, there are only 32 of them, but you better know what you're walking into. You better know that Howie's going to have the owner's ear and that he's going to be the voice and he's going to not be responsible for anything that goes wrong because we've seen this happen over time. You don't have to be a genius to figure this out now. I mean, this is not like we're not talking, as Belichick would say, we're not talking nuclear science here. You know, how many general managers in the National Football League get to pick three coaches?
None.
How many general managers in the National Football League get to go into purgatory and then come back as Napoleon did when he went back to France, when he left Elba? I mean, seriously, how many times does that happen in the NFL? Never. You cite the drafts,
yep.
And there's no responsibility. I mean, look, the roster's old. The salary cap's a mess. There must have been somebody that came in there that did those things that we missed. There must have been something that happened at nighttime.
Ladies and gentlemen, the original question was, is how are you a good GM? The answer was no. All right, just if you keep track at home. Here's the thing, Mike.
You didn't like my answer?
No, I loved your answer. You just
answer.
Told me.
Just...
He's not a good GM. The way you answered the question, he's not a good general manager. He's not.
But evaluate the evaluator, Angelo. That's the key component in everything. The evaluator, the only guy that matters in answering that question is Jeff Lurie. Evaluate the evaluator.
All right. You can help here, though, Mike, because you are a great GM. In fact, I would be pleased to put your name in nomination to replace Howie. However, just help me here, Mike.
Happen.
Mike, listen to me. You're out there making a coaching hire right now. Who do you love? Is there a guy out there you go, man, he'd be a good guy to replace Doug Peterson?
Well, look, I think you got to identify the problems. Jeffrey's going to lean towards offense. There's no denying that.
True.
He sees the vision of his team through offense. I would hire Don Martindale, the Baltimore defensive coordinator, tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I think he brings an element of toughness. If you look over the last 3 years in the National Football League, his defense has ranked top one in most every statistical category without a great level of talent on that side of the ball. People think it's better than it is. You know, I would look to, but to me, he doesn't solve my he doesn't solve my Carson Wentz problem. I'm going to hire the best quarterback coach I can find who can build the offense.
Okay.
You know, I'm going to lean towards, I've seen Josh McDaniels coach quarterbacks. There's not a better quarterback coach. There's not a better offensive game plan coach in all of football than Josh McDaniels. You talk to any coordinator, a defense coordinator in the National Football League, and the challenge of playing the Patriots offense. Now, I know they had Brady, all yada yada. But when you play them, it's a challenge to handle that. Brian Daboll, I think, has done a remarkable job, up in Buffalo, improving Josh Allen from 1 year to the next. Josh Allen couldn't hit the broadside of a barn, and he went from being about 45% completion percentage on throws under 10 yards to now making those throws 68%. Really remarkable. So I would look towards him. Arthur Smith at Tennessee, I think, does an incredible job. Jeffrey's going to know what goes on internally in the Kansas City organization, whether he thinks the enemy could come in there and handle it. Also, you know, Andy Reid knows what goes on inside that organization. So they're going to also understand what that is. There's a lot of talk about Mike Elkins being a guy that could potentially be a head coach at some point. I think it's going to be an offensive coach. I think it's going to be somebody to help him cure the problems that that reside within the building.
I like that Buffalo guy you just described, Mike. Mike, last question. And I want the honesty. Don't even hedge this. Just give it to me straight. I was watching Larry yesterday. I couldn't believe how incompetent he came across. Howie, heard him the other day. Terrible. Doug, they fired. Was 2017 a miracle?
You know, Angelo, I'm on record as not thinking Doug was a good coach. I apologize for it. I think it was all the stars aligned. It was a miracle in the sense that, and I've said this numerous times, when you look at third down and where they ranked on third and long in the league and compare to how they converted up, the stars aligned. I mean, I got a phone call after that game from an offensive coach of the Patriots asking me how they lost the game. How did we lose that game? They never punted. And so, look, accept it. Sometimes things happen in the great thing.
Yep.
But, you know, to think it's going to be played back, I think the actions after the Super Bowl are very telling. The victory laps that continue. And the fans certainly should do it, but internally in the organization, you can't.
It was a miracle. It is never a miracle when Mike makes sense because he's brilliant. He's great. Gridiron genius, GM, Shuffle Podcast. You're the best in the business, Mike. Thank you so much, as
Thank
always.
Thank you, Angelo.
The great Mike Lombardi with some great insights into what's going on here. Oh, wow. Get me more information on the Buffalo guy.
They're not going to get him.
We told you about him an hour ago, and you said, I don't want that guy.
They won't get a chance.
I changed my mind. Is he the Canadian?
Yes,
Is he okay?
Eh?
He was also, Al, you're right, he was with Alabama, 2017.
Yeah.
Uh-oh, was Hurts there then? Let's see if Hurts was there.
But he was Alabama, New England.
Yeah, I think he was.
He gave the job to the other guy, so that's why he can come here to give it to Wentz.
I think you're right. I think he got benched.
That's okay. If I'm considering the Oklahoma guy, I could consider the Alabama guy.
They want him to do it again.
The story is the Eagles are going to get what's left.
We're getting the scraps.
Well, if you're going to go somewhere, look at the openings.
Yeah,
are you going to come here?
Lurie said he's taking his time.
Well, you can't.
There's not going to be any hurry here.
How are you going to take your time?
He said I was here in at least a month.
Well,
here in a slow, involved process with lots of interviews.
You know why I want Brian Daboll here? The first headline I saw when I looked him up about the benching Jalen Hurts.
Yep.
Brian Daboll wanted to play Tua Tagovailoa sooner. Could you imagine him here with Wentz?
Brian Daboll. Write that one down, Al. That's
the
next
told
coach.
You about him.
Well, I've looked at the numbers. It's not bad. Not to two odds.
I think if you have to sell this job to somebody that has other places to go,
right.
You're not getting them.
I'm thinking I like a Canadian.
Yeah.
The more I think about it, Josie, we got to try another country.
It's a beauty way to go.
Let's go to Vince in AC. Hi, Vince.
Hey, guys. How are you?
What are you thinking, Vince? Give me your thoughts here.
Well, one quick thought, and real quick, I've been listening to this show since I was in elementary school. I used to have a fake voice to try to call in, so it's very good to get on the show.
You're old now. He's saying you're old.
Cool.
One thing, you know how Jeffrey Lurie said that we are, you know, there's a lot of GMs in our room, and we think that the team gets rated by their GMs.
Yep.
Do you think anybody is going to raid these players that they've been drafting the last 4 or 5 years?
No, I don't. We just got it explained to us by Mike that those raids that Jeff Lear would talk about, that's bogus, all right? Those guys earned their reputations before they came here. Most of what he said, Vince, was pure spin. Do you understand?
It was horrible.
It was twisting facts around to show you how great they're doing, ignoring the fact they're 4-11-1 and just fired their head coach.
And it seems like, you know, they made that decision in week 17 to go with Nate Sudfeld and this whole thing about how he deserves to have an opportunity. And then you turn around and you throw everything back in Doug's face.
Yep.
When all season you've been talking about the injuries, you've been talking about the pandemic and why it's hard to get the chemistry with your new players. But if that's your thought process all season, then why are you so quick to fire Doug instead of trying to figure out a way to get back to where you were 2 or 3 years ago? It just doesn't make any sense to me. And just like Jonesy said, like, if they think that they're going to be able to bring somebody in and have the control over them, this is going to be happening every 2, 3, 4 years. They're going to be the laughing stock of the NFL. So,
well, I'm going to tell you.
Thanks for taking my call, guys.
Vince, this was negative. That was a negative. Donnelly, that was a negative Lurie call. Lurie right now is continuing to pitch a shutout.
Yeah.
There has not been a single call. Now, I got to get Ava in later in this hour. Ava monitored the social media, and I'm going to have a double check out to see if anybody is pleased with the owner. Because you cannot hold a news conference and not please one person. He must have had a family member listening, somebody. Maybe Dave Spadaro?
Yeah, I know. I know who he pleased.
Who?
Giants fans, and that's about it.
All right, that doesn't work for me at all. When we return, Al, more expertise. Mike Garofalo of NFL Network's checking in. He was part of the Zoom conference yesterday as well. Lots more of your phone calls. Jump on board, 215-592-9494, WIP Sports,
8-17. T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!